With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast. I'm Beto Duran, as always joined by Ricky Romero. Thank you for joining us wherever you may be. Who's not with us today? Because I think he lost the internet on the farm, or he's building a new cabin, or he's hunting, or he's doing something. The one and only Josh Tolley called us last minute and said, guys, you know how he gets. Guys, I hate to do this to you, but Tolley is not available today. We do miss him. We're not able to be here last week because I was busy working. I had two fights that I worked that were pretty cool. And Rick, before we get going, one of the fights that I worked, it was a kid named Hackett who was from Toronto. So I mentioned to him, he's a heavyweight kid, and he's like 30 years old. I mentioned to him that about the six in Toronto. So all the Canadian lineage and verbiage that I'm learning from you did work. And the kid was really quiet. Then I mentioned up Toronto, and he's like, oh, I got all excited. So it was really cool. So my Toronto knowledge is coming through, man. How you been?
Good, man. I'm doing good. Just wrapping up my son's Sebastian's baseball season. I think it wraps up on Saturday. We started them in these on Saturday mornings, because he's not doing ice skating anymore. So he's going to be doing like this Ninja Warrior, like mazes or like gymnastic type stuff. Dude, they were loving it. So it was a busy weekend again. We enjoyed the Beach Life Festival out here in the South Bay. That was pretty cool. But yeah, man, I'm ready to talk a little bit of shop.
Today. And we're like trying to figure out, like, okay, so we're asking people, like, man, who should we have out? Last night in our group chat, I even sent a request to our guys, like, okay, who do you guys want to have as guests? And they gave us a long list of different names. It was pretty cool. I reached out to some of the people. Mark Gubas, who was supposed to be on in a couple weeks ago, and now because of Ohtani and how awesome Ohtani's doing, I sent Gooby a message. Like, you saw that one tweet that said, why are you guys talking about Ohtani so much? And I tweeted back, Angels, talk about Ohtani even more and more and more. Gooby sends me a message. Beto, don't think I forgot about the podcast. We've just been so busy during the season with Ohtani, man. It's been cool. It's just that dude, to watch him is crazy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's been amazing watching him, watching what that team's been able to do. And, again, it kind of, you know, everyone, when they brought Perry Minajian up to the Angels, everyone kind of was like, who? But I told you this, and you asked me about him. I was like, watch, he's going to turn this place around. And he comes from a good pedigree of, you know, being under Alex Anthopoulos and all that good stuff. So, yeah, we're seeing it now. And obviously the biggest thing is that they're healthy. They're getting production from a lot of guys that they didn't think they were going to get that type of production from. Their pitching has been solid. So yeah, man, I mean, you have two SoCal teams right now, doing it in baseball, and obviously what Ohtani, it's crazy what Ohtani has been doing. Mm-hmm. And you go and look at Mike Trout's numbers, and he is like killing it, man. And it's just, to me, it's like, golly, like he's being overshadowed for the first time ever by a guy who, you know, obviously he goes two ways, and it's pretty special when you're watching him. So people, if anything, tune in when that guy is playing. It's special. I mean, we might not ever see something like that. Honestly, what he's doing is insanely crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. We got to make a trip down to Anaheim. Actually, Toronto's going to be in Anaheim in a couple weeks, right? So we're going to make that road trip. All right, so today's guest isn't a guest. He's actually going to be our co-host today. We're going to bring him in right now. And if you've been with us for the podcast started, the history of how this podcast got going was 3 years ago. Our good friend Marco said, let's just make a road trip to spring training. And we did. We went out to spring training, and I had a recorder, and we just invited dudes to the house that we got in Scottsdale, and we had no idea what we were doing. That's how we met Tolley, or I did. I met Tolley. And March 21st of 2019, this man graced us with his presence, and he's become a friend ever since. Scott Richmond is today's co-host. We bring him in, Scotty Richmond, the man, the myth, the legend. Episode number 2. You can hear it on iTunes. Go back and listen.
Wow.
In 2019.
Number 2.
Number 2. And today we're on episode 81, even with a couple breaks in there. So there
you know,
we go.
You know what, though? People always ask me, like, what's one of your favorite episodes? And I'm like, you know, we've had some cool-ass guests, you know, from Hall of Famers and, you know, CC to Tim Raines and shit like that. But I'm always like, go listen to Scott Richmond's story, because this seriously should be a damn movie. Like, holy shit. Like, every time. What's that?
I said at least a book.
Yeah, at least a book. Yeah, I mean, if I'm telling you, people, if you get a chance, go listen to that story and what this guy was able to accomplish, how he did it, the amount of times that he failed at trying to get to the point where he wanted to get. But this guy never gave up. And shoot, man, he was pitching in the big leagues in Toronto and doing his thing. And we got to be part of a rotation together. And yeah, I'm glad he's joining us today to talk a little ball. And yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me on again. It's I've been following you guys ever since episode 1. You know, I was fortunate enough to be there and tell my story. But you guys have come a long way. You've had some amazing guests and sharing baseball, your stories around the world. And, you know, you're just talking about Ohtani. You know, the next Babe Ruth is among us right now. So it's been pretty cool and what you guys have been doing. So I've been happy to follow along. Glad to be here today.
Yeah. In Richmond, as you know, this when we did episode 2, we had no idea what we're doing. And now episode 81, we have an idea of what we're doing, but we're still not doing it. We don't care about war. We don't care about BAPIT. We don't care about shit. We don't care. We're not all that other stuff. Let's just talk stories, man. That's exactly what it is. And because Richmond is here, the pride of Vancouver, Canada, I have to take off the hat and bring on my Vancouver Canadians hat. You know, oh, Canada. I don't know the rest. As many hockey games as I worked, I don't know the rest. But oh,
hey, Canada. Richie, explain to our followers how big the Battle of Alberta is going to be in hockey this week.
Yeah, big, big fan of that. And I'm from British Columbia, but Edmonton's in the middle of Alberta. And Calgary's at the bottom, obviously. But they both just won their game sevens, and they're having a Battle of Alberta, which is the conference finals, and they'll be playing each other, and it's the first time since 91. So Canada in general, but Alberta as a whole, it will be absolute madness throughout the whole province. I'm really excited. I'm dialed in on each game, and I haven't even barely been watching, but there's some superstars on both teams that when you step up like this and you're playing the Battle of Alberta for the first time in like 30 years, big deal. Big deal. Can't wait to watch.
I'm telling you, it's going to be fucking madness.
In big those hits.
Madness. Big hits, like,
big fights.
Wait, who's playing?
Edmonton against Calgary.
Because once the Kings lost, I don't care anymore. So Edmonton against Calgary. So is this like the Red Sox-Yankees playing? No?
No.
Yankees-Mets?
They're both in the same province. They're both in the same province. So it's
Yankees
like,
against Mets?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. So
except times 100.
Yeah.
Rivalry. Like it's like yeah, like they
sports in each city that are equal like to hockey. Hockey's everything, right? So like the Mets and Yankees, they have other sports, the Nets and the whatever, the Knicks, like this is it. This is all they got. They only got hockey, and this is everything. So it's going to be so much fun.
Okay, who are we rooting for, Richmond? Who's our team?
One side of my family is in Alberta, in Edmonton. So I got to go north and go to Connor McDavid up northern Edmonton.
I got to watch him live last week, and this is my second time watching him. The dude's amazing, man. What he's able to do, how he's able to control a game, he pretty much – can take over a whole damn game, and it's so fun to watch him skate. He glides over everyone, like he just glides, and it's like one of those athletes that you just appreciate watching, and you take it all in. You follow him the whole game because you're like, man, he's gonna do something special. He's that guy. So I know my people in Toronto. I'm so sorry about the Maple Leafs, everyone. I feel like the city's depressed right now, man. I talked to a good friend of mine who's from over there. And I was like, how's everyone over there? They're like, dude, the city is in straight depressed mode right now after the Leafs getting knocked out in game seven. This was supposed to be their year. I mean, or they were supposed to go past the first round, and golly, man, I wanted that for them, but it didn't happen.
Hey, no. So Richmond.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So, okay, we're rooting for Edmonton. That's our team. Okay, go Oilers. That's what we want. so is this like the finals? The semifinals?
No, semis.
Conference. Yeah, semis. You win this, then you go to the finals.
Okay. Because I love
No.
You win this, then you go to the West. This is the Western Conference Championship.
Oh, okay.
No. It's not. No, because you got Colorado and St. Louis, dude. This is the quarterfinals, I think.
Okay. Hey, well, whatever it is, Ricky's in the zone. Ask the guy from LA about hockey. He's ready.
Yeah, no, but dude, it's going to be a dope. And the thing is, Beto, I'm telling you, people in Canada hate when, like, the LA Kings rack up back-to-back Stanley Cups, because here we just – oh, the LA Kings won a Stanley Cup. Like, they haven't had a Canadian team win a Stanley Cup in I don't know how long. So, obviously, they're like, dude, you guys don't appreciate it as much as we would. And we're like, the LA Kings, cool. Like, they won. It was awesome. But, yeah, we don't know the meaning of the Stanley Cup. So, around here, right? I mean, you would agree, Beto. Like, oh, here it's like, Dodgers, Lakers, and then they made the Kings come, you know. But obviously, it was cool when they were going through that run. Everyone turns into a hockey fan. But I'm telling you, if, like, Edmonton or Calgary or the Maple Leafs won a Stanley Cup, dude, those cities would burn down, like, literally.
Wow. Vancouver. Don't be forgetting Vancouver. We're not that great.
Cool, could I? As a guy whose first credential was hockey, and I was the host of the Kings postgame shows the 2 years that they won recently, you talk about bandwagon. That's me, baby. Go Kings, go. But right now, go Oilers. Go Oilers. That's my team now. All right, go Edmonton. Just because Albert. The only thing I know about Edmonton is because when I was a kid, the Angels had their AAA team up there. So they're the Edmonton Trappers. So back in the day, Rick, they would have, like, on Sunday, the newspaper, they'd have, like, the local guys in the minor leagues. It'd be the minor league report in the 80s, and you would see names, and it was always like teams in Edmonton, Albuquerque, and like Tacoma. That's how I learned geography, by minor league teams. It was like, I was wondering, where the hell is Edmonton, Canada? And the other one was the rookie guys would go to Medicine Hat. I don't know what is a Medicine Hat, but they've been there.
And people are pissed, man, because I think Wayne Gretzky, who was a legend in Edmonton, picked Calgary to beat them. So everyone's all over Wayne right now. You know, when you're an analyst and you're a media guy, you can't, as Beto has said, you can't play favorites. You just got to go with who you think's going to win. Like, that's just the way it is, man.
But he was the great one. Oh, you got to say Oilers. I don't even care. You are an Oiler. Like, are you kidding me? You can't be saying Calgary. That's such blasphemy. They're fucking all over them. You cheering for the Flames? You're an Oiler for fucking decades?
Oh, no, man.
No idea how pissed they are at him.
They are probably really, really pissed. Yeah.
Richmond coming strong, baby. Richmond coming strong. There we go. All right, Scott Richmond. Let's get, for those who haven't listened to episode two, get real your background. You were working on a boat in Vancouver, Canada, when you said, hey, let me go play pro baseball. Is that how it happened?
Similar, something like that. Yeah, I was after high school. I worked for 3 years. It's a log barge division. They do all the barge. Vancouver's a port city, so we bring in all the tugboats and all these big things. Anyway, did that for 3 years, kind of doing everything, painting, cleaning barges, and you know, hanging out outside in overalls and, you know, smoking darts and going, this ain't my life. You know, I don't want to do this, and kept playing baseball in a men's league. And then after that, hold on a second here. I got some noise happening. There we go. And then after that, I quit and went to a men's baseball league and said, you know what? I want to play baseball. Quit my job. Went there, did really well. Went to a wood bat league in another fun city you'll like, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Oh, and then headed over there, did well, and went down to the States. So did 3 years in the States, trying to climb up to D1, ended up making it to Oklahoma State. Got to Oklahoma State 2 years. 9/11, couldn't get drafted due to visa issues. So I actually went back to where what you just said, the Edmonton Trappers, and their field now was Telus Field in Edmonton, and our team was called the Cracker Cats, which is independent. It was after the Trappers left, which is another great name. And from there, 3 years in Edmonton, and then a bunch of ex-Team Canada guys were on there, knew some connections with Rob Ducey and the Blue Jays, got a workout in Dunedin, Florida, and met Ricky down there. You know, it was a lot of fun coming in there, seeing some talent all over the country, and came into spring training and, you know, broke camp in Double A, and, you know, they kind of pinned me and Ricky against each other a little bit. It was kind of funny. I want to ask Ricky about this too, but they kind of pinned us against each other. Ricky was obviously a highly touted prospect who'd been stuck in Double A a little bit, and they brought in this older guy. You know, I'm 27, coming out of indie ball. Nobody's ever heard of me, and they start me opening day. And I know they kind of like ruffled Ricky, but when you look back on it, you know. So initially we had some rough goes, but like just because like who's this old fart taking my spot? Like, but if you look back, ever since I was there and met Ricky and did that, we both rocketed very, very quickly to the next two levels and ended up having a great career. So we really complimented each other. And that's why our friendship, I believe, stayed this strong for so long, because we were there when we were nothing. And then you could have gone one direction and gone out, or been the person you were supposed to be, and you ended up flipping it around. And I kind of take a little credit and pushing your ass to get you to realize.
No, it really did.
And get it done, babe.
It really did, man. It really did. Obviously, yeah, you're a young prospect. I'd been stuck there for a while, and it didn't feel good when you're like, oh, man, like, you know what? I feel like I've been here, you know, getting opening day started. Here comes Scotty, and they announce him as opening day. And they probably, you know, looking back on it, they probably did it on purpose, you know, and it was like, let's light a bit of a fire under his ass. He's been here for a while. He has struggled. But, you know, if anything, for me, I never took it personal in the sense that like, oh, I can't be friends with Scotty Richmond. It was the complete opposite. It's like, I got to be better. I have to be better. And I understand that. And when I saw him go to work, dude, the guy came into Double A and just straight dominated. And next thing you know, he was making his debut in 2008, right, Richie?
Yeah. I was in Double A till the All-Star break, and then went up to Triple A in Syracuse, had 5 starts. I was 1-2 with like a 2, and got called up. I made my debut from Indianapolis. They pulled me out of my start and went to Toronto and faced the Rays, who went to the World Series that year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy, right? Like it's crazy because when he came in, dude, he commanded the strike zone so well, and I still remember it very, very well. Like he just knew how to command the strike zone. He knew how to pitch. And it's crazy because when you look at today's game, Richie, you look at it and it's a bit frustrating, right? Because guys, we're in an era, and I don't want to sound like the bitter guy. I'm not. We live in an era where velocity trumps everything else. And the art of pitching, and I always say this, the art of pitching is the best of the best. It doesn't get any better than that. And we're seeing it, like, I'm sure you follow a bit of the Jays games, Richie, and you look at like a guy like Kikuchi, like last night, a guy that throws 97, but really didn't trust his 97. And yesterday, I think he threw like 64 or 65% fastballs. And I'm like, that's pitching. Like when you trust your stuff, when you let your stuff work in the zone, not when you're going out there and just trying to throw as hard as you can. And we know when you throw hard and you're all over the place, that 97 gets teed off, you know, by big league hitters. So, you know, it's cool to see like somebody like that last night actually go out there and pitch and use this stuff to his advantage. And we did it, you know, throwing 91, 92, 93. We weren't throwing as hard as these guys, but we went out there. And I think a lot of that, obviously for you, Richie, it came obviously with experience and everything you had been through. You just came in ready, and then you go in and you're pitching under a Roy Halladay, and you're just like, whoa, like this is what it takes to be good up here. And the way he went about his business, obviously we all knew we weren't going to be Roy Halladay, but you took a little bit of watching him pitch every fifth day. You're watching greatness, and the way this guy would carve up big league hitters and be in the zone and throw strikes. You're like, okay, I can go out and do that. If I can throw strikes, I know I'm going to be fine.
Yep. I workhorse, just take the ball and you got to tear it out of his hand. You know, we get to play once every 5 days. No better person to watch go out there and do that and try to emulate, you know. I still tell stories of when he was in BP. It just was his birthday too, I think, last week. Or a couple days ago, actually. But, so rest in peace to Roy there. That's been really kind of tough to realize that that's not happening anymore. But, you know, I remember telling stories in BP, the odd time that he would get a ground ball hit to him, you know, he would pick it up and you'd never see him just kind of backhand, like flick the ball in. He would always like perfect execute, throw the ball up out front, like every throw you ever saw him throw was perfection. And when you see that at that level, you're like, this is no joke. This is no joke. He's not just like having fun up. This is work. This is everything. This is building making his craft and building his legacy. So, you know, you kind of see that every day and you're honored to see that even he does that. So you try and take that for granted as well and not take that for granted and make sure you're going out there and capitalizing on all your performances.
People, if you get a chance, listen to that episode, episode number 2 on our podcast. And it really is an incredible story. And just looking back at everything you were able to accomplish, because people always ask me, do you have, you know, what's the biggest regret in your career or this and that? And at the time when I had retired, I was like, man, like not being able to live up to the contract and all that stuff. But when you have a chance to kind of sit back and reflect on the careers that we've had, there's a lot to be proud of, right? I mean, you can look at the negatives, but I feel like it's always overshadowed by the positives when you really sit back. And it took me a long time to figure it out. But for you, last time we talked to you in our podcast, you were still playing. Mm-hmm. Like how hard was it for you to say, okay, I'm done, I'm retired? Because I know you were still trying to come back for the Olympics and all that stuff, man. You were still freaking firing away. You were in the WBC, right? The last one.
Yeah, I was in 2017 in Miami. I'd participated in 3 of those. And then obviously in 2008, when I got called up, I was on the Beijing Olympic team. Then they took me off the roster to go up to the Blue Jays, which is totally fine. But it would have been nice to be Olympian. And then Rio de Janeiro and London came, no baseball. And then Tokyo was, 2020? And then all of a sudden pandemic and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, I just keep getting older. You know what I mean? It's not getting any easier for me. So I ended up trying to stick around and just try to qualify for the Olympics to put that little icing on the cake right there to finish off my career. We didn't end up making it. The USA had a hard time qualifying initially, so we had to beat them out. Dominican Batista was playing for the Dominican down there at Port St. Lucie. But no, it was good. A lot of fun. You know, I faced Team USA my last outing that I ever pitched in, so it was good and did well. And, I played until I was 40. I don't miss it. I do miss the guys, but like we can pick up the phone and have a conversation and reminisce like this, you know, and it just brings back all those fun memories. But when you get to hang it up on your own reasons, you know, it's a lot easier to hang it up.
40 years old though, man, that's a long time. And you did it for a long time. And the stuff that you were able to accomplish in, you know, from D1 to just professional baseball to the big leagues, to going to the Pan Am games, winning that, like, I mean, that still is like a very classic story series, the way you guys beat the US in the finals, all that good stuff. Like when the first time I walked into your house and you see all the memorabilia that you have, it's cool. Like it's all like stuff that literally comes from your life, from your career. And then you go to Italy and you fucking go out there and you're pitching in Italy and traveling out of Italy. Like the amount of you had so much resilience through your career, man. You just loved it so much that again, to do it till the age of 40, that's pretty damn cool. And like, how was that day when you're like, did you know going into the Olympics, if we qualify, this is it, I'm done?
If we qualify, I'm going to go to the Olympics, obviously. I told the coaches, I was like, listen, I'll only go and play for the team if we qualify and I'll be on the team. You know, I can be whatever you want me to be, but I also don't want to take a spot away from anybody that's definitely willing to come. I'm obviously 40, and if you have some 21-year-old throwing 97 that you want to bring in and gives you a better chance, then please do. But no, they need that veteran leadership, kind of back in the day what AAA was like, where you need those veteran guys that know what it takes to win, been there in the past, kind of hand the torch over to the younger guys. And it was pretty clear to me that if we qualified, I'd be on the team. So I went out there and got ready and pitched in some important games, and we didn't end up making it, but that would have been it. And then not making it, that was it. So
was it an emotional like time when it was time to hang it up? Like, was it, what did you like kind of sit back? Did you ever sit back and reflect and was like, man, like maybe tear up? I don't know. Maybe like, did it get emotional for you?
Well, not on the field. Like as I walked off the field, the whole bullpen, so you walked by the bullpen, like all the guys stood up and clapped, like, cause I just faced Team USA at 40, you know, like you got Duran with the Red Sox. You got the Christian Cassis, the Red Sox first baseman in AAA, who's probably coming up. You got, you know, all, I don't know, check out the USA roster. It was pretty good. You got Homer Bailey starting. It was pretty good. Anyway, so to not get absolutely pummeled there kind of felt nice. Struck out two guys. My last batter ever faced, I struck out. It was Christian Cassis, the first baseman for the Red Sox AAA. But yeah, man, it was good. And then on the bus at the end, once we all got eliminated, John Axford was on our team, and he's a good friend. He said some really nice words, and what kind of went around to everybody on the team of like what they contributed during that, and you know, saved me for the end, and just kind of told them where I started and where I am and how thankful he, you know, blah blah blah. I'm not going to tear up, but yes, there was some emotions, and it was very nice to be recognized as the longest tenured Canadian national team member and the things that we've accomplished and the next step. So it was good.
Yeah, it totally, I keep saying totally, sorry. This is a bad habit. Richmond, like I said, when I met you, your story was just fascinating, because in this day and age of where every kid is identified as the next big thing at 7 years old, right, where they're going in, they're winning championship rings at these big tournaments, especially you living in Arizona, you see him every weekend. You're a dude who was working on barges and cleaning barnacles and decided to go chase a dream, or whoever knows where that dream may be. And it's the baseball's taking you all over the world. And there's a lot of people that listen to the podcast, especially high school kids, because we do Ricky's Camp out here. And, you know, shout out to Legacy High and Roosevelt High and Garfield High, these kids listening. And we tell them at the camp is, use baseball to get out of your neighborhood and go see the world. Go see another state. Leave your neighborhood. It can take you everywhere else. But, I mean, when you did have a chance to reflect on it, and I've seen some of your pictures, and you know, you got Larry Walker, the Hall of Famer. You guys are in Team Canada gear. Like, you weren't supposed to do this. Like, you weren't even supposed to play college baseball anywhere. You were just supposed to be the guy who is going to be at the local tavern at the end of the day after cleaning barnacles, sucking down a six-pack and smoking your cigarette, saying, I could have been, should have been, whatever. Like, what's your best advice for a kid who might say, I'm not following the path, but damn it, I want to chase a dream, whatever that dream may be?
Yeah, that's great, Beto. Like, very easily could have gone that way, you know? I just really loved baseball. And whether it's baseball or basketball or football or whatever you love, you got to love to go out there and do it. You got to be able to risk everything for it. And I quit my job. And as like a, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid making $25 an hour, like trying to start your life, that's pretty comfortable. And to go, you know what? I want to go chase a dream here. And I want to go to these Moose Jaws and, you know, Nowheresville and just not be with your family, which was fine at 18, but still, like, you have to like commit yourself to do that. And then all of a sudden, like, not get in trouble along the way. You know what I mean? Like, you need to represent you and your family and where you're from in a good way so that other kids can follow you. So being Canadian, as soon as you get down to the States, you're like, what, from where? You have baseball? I thought you play hockey. Like, they have no idea. They have no idea. There's no Canadian history in any American geography, anything. Right. So they don't know about it at all. So want to come down and be known as the hard worker. You know, seen, not heard, hard worker. And just, if I was deficient in an area of my game, I always wanted to improve it. And if I asked a coach, hey, I need ground balls hit back to me because I'm scared of the ball. I'm scared of the ball being hit at me. I'll put a cup on. I remember like learning how to when I needed a cup, when they started squaring the ball up in double A, I was like, I need a cup. I need a cup one. I remember asking Voon Chong, like, where am I getting a cup here? So it's just, you learn, man. You learn. I was so raw. I don't even know if Ricky has any stories, but like, I was like deer in headlights. I had no idea, you know, but I think that helped. I think my maturity being a little bit older really helped out. But the one thing I always do is when I go back to Canada, I do camps and talk to the kids and buddies that have facilities and things and just go in there and just tell them, listen, I didn't throw 97 miles an hour. God didn't bless me with a rocket of an arm. And he gave me height. I'm 6'5". And one thing my dad always says is you can't coach height. And you want to be a pitcher, and that's the size they want for pitchers. So you have that going for you. You know, I was tall and skinny and didn't know how to work it, but like I kept working at it. I enjoyed practicing and I enjoyed getting out there and getting better day by day. And it just, it worked, man. It worked. I made some tough moves along the way, but it ended up working out, and I'm glad for everyone. A couple steps back, but a few steps forward afterwards. So it ended up being a really, really good experience.
I don't think we asked you this on that episode, Richie. You take away the big leagues, take away pro ball or minor league ball. At what point in your career were you like, I can pitch in the big leagues? Like where you were like, maybe no one else saw it, but you're like, I can fucking do that.
So it happened the other way around. I had a really good friend. You probably met at my wedding. His name's Reggie Rivard. He played in Edmonton with me, and he lives in Northern Alberta. And he was like the guy who'd been to AAA before with the Rangers. And I just got the independent ball out of Oklahoma State and had no idea about anything. And he saw me pitch for 3 years there. And then when I finally got to start, he would pump my tires so bad. And he meant it. I could tell he meant it. And I was just like, dude, you're being really nice. I appreciate it. Thank you. Like, he's like, that stuff you had today would dominate a big league team. He would tell me this after, like, I'd go 7-3 hits and a run, 8 punch outs, whatever, like a good line, right? And he would just pump my tires. And I was like, dude, I appreciate it. Like, wow. Like, thanks. Like, I don't know, right? Like, I don't know what it takes to get there. And then you keep hearing that. You keep hearing that. And you're like, all right. Then you get a Blue Jays opportunity to try out, then you go there and do it, then you go double A and you break camp as an ace, and I'm like, okay, this is happening quickly. Then you move up and you're 1-2 and you're getting smacked in the mouth a little bit in triple A, but yet you're giving your team a chance to win. You know, I realized it when I got to triple A, I think, but my friends and my close ones on that independent ball team realized it the year before when I was pitching there. They're like, you have it, you could, this plays at the big league level.
Damn, like, this is true. Like I said, once again, go back to listen to episode 2 and you get all of Richmond's story about where he's been and going. I'm going to go back to this. You're pitching your last game because people always say you have to tear the uniform off of me before I retire, and or they'll retire for you. When you actually walked off the mound knowing that it was your last game, you had that moment to reflect. You know, I've had this conversation with Ricky. Like a week later when you go back, because for so long your identity's been, I'm a pro baseball player. When did you have that moment of, damn, it's done?
You know, I'd been prepping for it for a while, just being with the pandemic and everything, right? Like, I'd been prepping, like, oh, wow, I don't want to retire due to the pandemic. Like, let's get a tournament in here. Like, what are we doing? Like, how can we play? We were going to go to Taiwan, and we end up going to Florida to play the qualifier, right? So, because Taiwan wasn't allowing anybody there. But... you know, it felt good, man. I played a really long time. Like you said, I was very fortunate, and I shouldn't have been gone as far as I did. So I can only be thankful for it. I didn't, like, leave my jersey on the field and leave my cleats there and take a selfie. I didn't do any of that. I just walked off and thanked people for, especially the coaching staff with Baseball Canada. You know, they gave me a start early on, and, you know.
Dude, And I feel like that coaching staff is like dear and near to you guys' heart. Like, I feel like you know, not just seeing your stories when you were part of those teams, but like seeing other guys' stories and like the Stubby Claps, the Ernie Witts, like the Larry Walker, just the amount of respect that you guys have for these guys to me is always special to see. And it almost feels like these guys play such big roles in you guys' lives and careers. And you guys are so passionate about putting on that Canada uniform on, and it's always cool to see. And again, this is, I'm talking, you know, about like the Pete Orrs. I remember when you guys came over that house, remember when you were living with me in spring training and you brought all those guys in, and just like, dude, it's like the, I mean, I'm not saying every other country is not passionate, but it almost seems the level of respect that you have for those coaches is always pretty special to see.
Yeah, it was cool. One really cool thing about Canada is they keep the same coaching staff all the time. And then because we don't have such a large pool of high quality players to choose from, you're playing with the same guys for 10 years. So like you're building that rapport. You're building that rapport. The Team USA, they're picking guys that are right on the cusp of being, you know, called up or put on the 40 man. As soon as you're put on the 40 man, you're not eligible to play in a lot of tournaments, only the WBC. So, you know, USA guys get going a lot quicker and they don't play on the same team and build that rapport. We're all a little less and we build that rapport. But then anytime we play these guys, they don't want to play us because we know who we are. We know each other. We know tendencies. Coaches knows what that player can do. Regardless if they've been playing indie ball for 3-4 years, they know as soon as they put on the Canada uniform, they're going to get their best out of them and they're not going to try and do too much.
Is that still one of your favorite games? The Pan Am walking them off?
Yeah, so well, I closed out the game in Mexico to win our first ever gold medal in the senior men's national team. Andrew Albers started the game and then I closed it out to finish it against struck out Jordy Mercer to finish the game. And then 4 years later, we went to Toronto and you know, David Huff did some back pick and tried to do all the, if we ended up walking it off with Pete Orrs, you know, one of these. And it's really nice to play for Canada and win on home soil because it doesn't happen very often. We're always international, always gone. So to do it in front of our fans in that such a dramatic fashion.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
It was definitely a highlight.
All right. How cool. Really quick. I just want to ask him this. How cool was it having Larry Walker as part of that staff? Having a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's Mr. Canada, Mr. Baseball Canada. How cool is it to be in the presence of him and how was he like on a daily basis?
He's awesome. He's amazing. He's a, you know, Maple Ridge guy from BC where I was from. He was a guy that showed me that guys from where I'm from can make it, you know, just like you are to people where you're from, you know, he can make it. I can make it. Now it's a different level of player, but you can make it. You know what I mean? And that's the only thing that counts. And then you become the person that you are when you make it. But it just shows you that no matter where you started, you can make it. So he was a big motivator for a lot of Canadians. And now we've been fortunate enough to have a bunch of Canadians in the big leagues where we're extra, you know, yeah, there he is. But he loves it more than anybody. That's not fake. You know, he wants that so bad. He's out there. He's working with guys in the cage. He answers any questions people have. Like he is a diehard Canadian and super proud guy. And, you know, we just want to do him well and represent our country well with him with us. And we're super fortunate to have that.
Yeah, I'm showing the picture. If you're listening on iTunes, the picture of you guys winning, was it the Pan Am Games?
That's in Toronto. That's the Pan Am Games. Yeah, it's our second back-to-back gold medal.
All right, now, most importantly, what kind of beer do you guys have in the clubhouse?
That's Molson Canadian down to Larry Walker's left side there.
Molson Canadian. So, all right, got to get it right. Got to get it right. I ask the important questions. You know me. I ask the important stuff that matters. So you guys have Molson.
100%.
So, Richard, you're a kid from Vancouver who played for the Blue Jays in Canada. Awesome. But you mentioned different countries. You played in Mexico in these tournaments. What other countries did you play in?
We've been
all everywhere.
Of them? Like all the Pan Am games?
I've been, well, we just had one in Lima, Peru. So we went to Lima. We've been to Guadalajara, Mexico, Toronto, Taiwan, been all over Taiwan, went to Japan, Okinawa, Korea, Seoul, Korea. I missed the Europe trips. They had some trips through the Netherlands and Italy and there just due to playing with Ricky and the Jays in 2008 and 2009. But Canada's been to Europe. And then where else? We've been in South America. I've been to Panama, had tournament down there. Kind of everywhere, you know, kind of everywhere. A little bit parts of the States, not really much in Canada, but that Toronto Pan Am was
pretty fun. It's crazy.
That's pretty dope, right? I mean, somebody who's not supposed to make it be able to experience everything that you experience. I mean, again, the big leagues is the top of the top. But when you, like for me, when I look at my journey and stuff like that, I think about, yeah, the big leagues was awesome, but it's the root of it, right? I mean, that's what kind of brings you back. For me, it brings me back, like me playing, you know, at my local park to Cal State Fullerton and all that good stuff there. Like, yeah, we can talk about the big leagues all day, but I feel like it's the root of it that is always special. I mean, at least it is for me. And I feel like it sounds like it is for you too, man. Like Canada, playing for Team Canada and all that good stuff. I feel like those are the memories that you probably.
I'm glad you said that, because that's what it's like too. We both play in the big leagues. You don't hear us talking about all our big league moments all the time. Yeah. There's a lot of baseball besides that maybe means a little bit more just because of like, it wasn't the pinnacle. Now, what people need to understand is the major leagues is a business. It is a business organization that is no longer like extremely super fun baseball. Like it's fun if you're dominating, it's extremely fun. But when you're struggling, everything's magnified. There's a lot more pressure. You're facing the best in the world. You're traveling to Yankee Stadium in the inaugural season. There's air conditioning blowing in the dugouts. You're trying not to get too overwhelmed. You know, like I'm telling you, man, it's a business. Well, they get pummeled in an inning and a third, and then you're looking over your shoulders for the next 4 days to see if you can be around. That is stressful, and there's not a lot of – there's fun memories there, but there's a lot of memories that are like, dude, lock it in. This could be over. Lock it in. Like, but when you're playing for your country, you give up one and a third. You could be out there in two more days because we don't have any more pitching. You know what I mean? Like, you are the guy. And then you go out there and you bounce back and you prove that I can do this. And I picked up my team and like things like that. And those are memories that stick around, you know? And I'm glad you said that, because we could be sitting here talking about big league Jets and warm cookies and Haagen-Dazs, but we don't talk about that.
Oh, you got Haagen-Dazs? Wait, you got Haagen-Dazs on the plane?
Hell yeah.
Oh,
warm
man.
Cookies.
So we mentioned that, and I'm glad, you know, Scott, you know this, we don't care about the major leagues. We've mentioned in the beginning. Where is your Fubon Guardians jersey at?
Hold on. I got a whole closet full of jerseys right here.
All right, so he went to go to look for his jersey. He played for a team called the Fubon Guardians in the Chinese Professional League in Taipei. Oh!
There it is. Wow. One of one.
Wow. Oh, Fubon Guardians. Oh, they had home and away. Oh, it's like the Mariners.
The Mariners, huh? Yeah.
Very nice. They were 48-70 that year. Oh, camo blue. What, you just have a whole rack right next to you?
And this was the team before the Fubon Guardians.
That's what I was going to ask. The EDA Rhinos, baby.
EDA Rhinos.
The EDA Rhinos. They're 61-58 that year.
That's the jersey I made the catch in.
Oh, that's
the catch. Yeah, the famous catch.
On that team, there were, I'm counting, two Americans. Scott Richmond was the only one. If Futi Ni went to, oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's dope.
Chinese writing, very nice. I like how Richmond gets a. He takes all the jerseys. Were you supposed to take the jerseys,
buddy? I got like probably 40 jerseys in my closet right here in my office.
All right. So you played in Chinese Taipei, and then you also played for a team called Auckland. What is Auckland? Was that even?
Hold on.
Show and tell with Scott.
Dude,
he 2018 played for Auckland Tuatara.
So my dad is from New Zealand.
Oh, that's right. It's in New Zealand.
Yeah, so it's like my dad's from New Zealand, but they played in the They played in the ABL. The Australian Baseball League.
So you had an Australian team playing in the Australian, you had a New Zealand team playing in the Australian League, and one of your teammates was Sean Dunstan Jr.
Wow.
Yep. And Josh Colemanter.
Josh Colemanter and Jan Holtzkamp, who also made it to the leagues.
Yep, yep.
Man.
He was like 6'7", played for the Pirates, I think.
Yep. So that was interesting. All right, and then the one I'm really interested is the Nuova Città Nettuno. The Italian Baseball League. There was no stats, no records. And we're the
wow. Dude, how many jerseys do you have? Seriously, how many jerseys do you think you have?
I have probably 50.
Wow. So you just kept them all?
No, I got some framed, but like I have my first professional jersey. I got all my Jays ones, you know, the baby blue, the one they should have now.
Dude, I regret. I've told you this before, Beto. I still regret not keeping that jersey. Oh, that's
beautiful.
Yeah. I've been trying to find it, like through somebody, whoever has it, or online or something on eBay. I cannot find that jersey, dude.
Wait, like, keep any of your jerseys?
Well, before they used to – I don't know, maybe Richmond said fuck it and took more than one, but they used to only let us keep one. So I'd always just play it by the book and take
Rick,
one. I don't know.
Rick, you were
the
freaking star. You were the bobblehead.
I know.
And you were following the rules?
Yeah, I did.
What kind of Mexican are you? You're supposed to take everything, bro.
Richie probably said, fuck that. I'm taking three jerseys. I'm taking all of them.
The guy saying no, he prints them every year. It's like, I need this. This is my career. You're going to throw this in the pack. Take it out of my paycheck. You coming with me?
I freaking regret not keeping that baby blue one because that's it's beautiful. Such a legit jersey. It's a beautiful jersey.
This is the 2017 WBC team.
That's signed cool. by everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So there's some fun stuff in there. I got a Larry Walker signed. I got a Halladay still signed.
You think Larry Walker would ever hop on this podcast and do it with us if you came on with him?
I'm sure he'd do it without me. I'll talk to him.
Yeah,
I got my hat ready. I got my hat ready. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
What about? Do you know Joey Votto?
Yes, but I wouldn't be able to call him and go, "Hey, you want to jump on a podcast?"
we'll just tweet him. We'll just tweet him.
I could get Axford.
Well, he'd be fun too.
He's a chef. You should follow him on IG. He's a fun follow.
You've heard that story, right, Beto?
He was doing
TV last year, actually, for Sportsnet. He did a few games and then went to try or did the whole Olympic stuff and was throwing like 97 again. And the Blue Jays signed him, goes to Buffalo, does well, gets called up. Or no, gets traded to Milwaukee and first game in the big leagues, blows out his elbow again.
Oh, snap. For real?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, follow John.
It's a dope-ass story because he was actually the man in Milwaukee for a while. He was their closer.
Had a mustache. Back.
Yeah, and he had that funny mustache that everyone would talk about. But the dude threw gas, and then, like, yeah, he, like, semi-retired, I guess, and then – Richie knows more of the story than I do. Yeah, man. Like,
that was great.
We'll get these guys. the reason I love Richmond is because a couple years ago, after I met Richmond, I took my son to Italy, and Richmond's like, "Oh, I got a tour guide for you in Rome. No problem." You know, everybody's like, "I got a guy, right? I got a guy." No, Richmond's tour guide in Rome was amazing. She's a professor at the university there. She took care of me. We went to the Colosseum. If you ever need to go to Italy, hit up Scott 48 Richmond. He knows everybody in Italy and the best tour guide, because when you go to the – you've been in the Colosseum, right? You know those long lines outside?
Yeah.
Nah. Not when you say Scott Richmond's name. We went straight to it. I'm yelling Maximus. I'm all over the place. And people are like, why are they
that
not
good, here? Huh? It was that good.
Oh, straight to the front. We didn't have to wait in any lines because it was a private tour, just her and I and my son. And it was amazing. We became friends. We're taking pictures together. It's all great. And just like the history of it. So if you ever go to Italy and Rome, she'll take care of me. She couldn't get me into the Vatican because she was already booked for other people. But that's when I knew the difference, because when I went to the Vatican, I had to go with the commoners. I was like, oh, no. I got to go back to the Richmond way of life, bro. That's the way to do it. But Scott, we had on Jason Grilly a couple weeks ago. And Grilly has his own wine. That he's producing in out of Italy. So he talked about the Italy baseball. And for the people who don't know, real quick, give us the story of what it was like playing in Italy, right? Because on Baseball Reference, there's no records of anything.
No, it wouldn't be. But no, it was fun. They play two games a week, my team, Friday, Saturday. So I'd be the Friday starter. And what they do is you'd get up there Friday, pitch, stay overnight Friday night, play Saturday, and hoof it home on the bus. So what I would do is, we would drive up, and then I would pitch Friday. Then we'd travel around whatever part of the country we're in, and then I'd come for the game on Saturday, do my catch and whatever I need to be done. And then we would just stay up there because we wouldn't have a practice until Thursday. So we would just stay in that area and travel around. Like, we went to a place called Padua, where a buddy of mine, Mark Tian, played. And then we would go up there. Venice is up there. Verona's up there, you know, and just spend a few days, Airbnbs, and travel around.
I should have done that, man.
Come on, you got a couple bullets left.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little bitter right after my career ended and the way it ended, and I was, like, so fucking mad at baseball that I didn't want anything to do with it. But I wish I would have done something like that. Something where you – like Richmond said, it just – hey, you're here because I love the game, and it's going to – I just want to keep playing for the hell of it, and it's an experience. And yeah,
the
man.
Kids, I mean, the kids loved it. You're on a team. The kids loved it. You're on a team. You're a big leaguer. They're in Italy. They're, you know what I mean? Like, they might have had one or two buddies that went to the States to play A-ball. Like, the amount of stuff you could teach them, and I still have good relationships with these guys, you know, and it wasn't about anything. It was just being, we're a team. Let's go try and win. And we actually ended up doing really well. But it was amazing. We saw 40 cities in 6 months with three young kids under four.
That is insane. That is insane.
Rick, I think Rick, you only pitch one day a week, right? Give them five innings. You can do it. Five innings. Rick, you got five innings in you.
No.
Yes, you do. You're only 35. You got five innings in you. You don't have to throw hard. Just go thumb it. They're going to love it, right? You're Canadian.
No, hey, stop it. Cool. Hey,
I'm going to talk to your wife because your wife wants to go.
No, the funniest part was Grilly talking about how when they went to the WBC, they advanced to the next round. I think, Richie, you sent me a message saying it was you guys who lost to them, and how some of the dudes had to go back home because they had to go back to work. That to me is like, about as real as it gets for these guys. Like, it's like, hey, like, yeah, we came to the tournament. We thought we were going to be like, just everyone's going to step all over us. We win in advance of the next round. Now we got to head home. Like, how the hell are we going to do this? Or else we're going to get fired. That to me was the funniest part of that part of the story with Jason Grilli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Richard, was there wine after the games in Italy?
Yeah, 100%.
Rick, we got.
They do like tall beers. They're like Peronis. They buy like the big bulk ones, and then they get these little plastic cups and drink. I'm like, just give me the beer. Like, why am I drinking this cup? Like, just give me the beer. You don't need to share this. Like,
and all of us here have been to Italy, and you guys can attest to this. The wine there is better than any top notch wine here, without amazing. A doubt.
Even the table wine.
And super cheap.
The table one. Yeah. I'd go and be like, yeah, just give me your house wine. And I'm like, oh my God, this is better than the fucking shit you're paying $150 for at a restaurant here.
That's like,
ever since then, I can't go to a restaurant and just order a $200 bottle of wine like that. No. Like,
in Italy, that's like Jason Grilli's wine. Rock and Ball Wines is Jason Grilli's rock, the letter N, ball wine. We're actually going to get some sent to us pretty soon. But it was cool. Like, you know, Rick, come on. Richmond, tell him he's still got some arm left. Let's go.
No.
I haven't seen him play catch. I just see him on there rolling ground balls to his kids on IG. I don't see any throws, so I don't know.
That's
don't
about
know.
As good as it gets.
We got to get it
as good as it gets.
Get it up.
Come on. Richmond, okay, so also, we love your stories. International man of mystery out there playing baseball everywhere. You know, one of the kids that we have is, or the high school that we deal with is Legacy High School here in L.A., and they have kids that are going to go and play Division III baseball and chase their dream. I'm looking it up right now. In Buffalo, New York. They're going to go to – what's this kid's name? Let me look for it. He is committed to Medale College Mavericks. Eric Arriola. Upstate New York, they're going to go. They're going to go and play chase those dreams. And other kids are going to go and figure things out for them. You know, they can use – back to our point where you can use baseball to see the world and do everything else. You know, the impact that it's had for you, again, 18-year-old Scott Richmond, what would you tell him?
Oh, yeah. You got to go and do it, and you got to go and do it with a smile on your face. You can't go there thinking, damn, I got screwed. I should be in D1. You know, you just have to be grateful for the opportunity and put the pressure on your coach to make a phone call to get you to a junior college next if your goal is D1. I went to a four-year NAIA school in Marshall, Missouri, not a big city like Buffalo, New York, like Marshall, Missouri. And my coach left there, went to a junior college in Louisiana. And I'm like, I want to keep climbing. This has got to be the route. Lost some credits with baseball. I mean, with the schooling, but the best thing I can say is you just got to have a good attitude about it. Keep working hard and climbing and just know where your goal is. If that's D1, then keep going. Now, you might get there and get pummeled and have to come back before you can try to go back. But you got to keep trying to climb and see where you peak. And that was one thing that I tried to do, is just keep trying to go up until I got pummeled. And for me, it didn't really happen until I hit the big leagues. Now, don't get me wrong, I got pummeled along the way. But what I'm saying is I hung in and did well everywhere I was at, until I got to the big leagues, and then, you know, made it and got pummeled more consistently and came down.
No, but I think the key word there is grateful. And I think it's being in the moment, staying in the moment and appreciating the moment. Again, not everyone, and this is to the kids who listen to us, not everyone that makes it to the big leagues is D1. Not everyone that makes it to the big leagues is this highly touted prospect out of high school, out of college. The amount of stories that you hear, like the Richmond stories, there's a lot of guys, NAIA schools, D2 schools, D3 schools that just turn themselves into fucking big leaguers. And 100%. And again, it's being grateful for the opportunity that you guys have. And like Richmond said, it's stay in the moment and stay present and put the pressure on coaches. And if you're doing well, okay, what's my next step? Have a plan out for yourself. And if it doesn't happen right away, it doesn't mean like, okay, my career is over. No, it's I'm gonna keep pushing. This guy right here, again, he's living proof of it. Like, there's no excuse. to get to the level that you want to get to, if you work hard and if you stay the course that you want to stay on. It's cool when you hear stories like that about big leaguers. And again, not every highly touted prospect makes it to the big leagues. If that was the case, then baseball would look a lot different. But the stories, from Dominican guys to Venezuelans to Mexican kids who make it to the big leagues, and then the kids who live here in the States or Canada, and they pretty much came out of nowhere, it's what makes baseball special.
That's awesome. Very well said by both of you guys, man. Very well said. So, Richmond, what are you up to now besides being the ultimate softball dad?
So, one of our ex-teammates, Jeremy Accardo's wife, Carly, started a Peaches Baseball Academy out here in Arizona. So I am coaching three teams out here. So I've helped coaching. But no, it's been a lot of fun teaching all the girls baseball. And it's not softball. So they're getting their elbows up. They're throwing overhand. They're pitching to each other. You know, I work with all the pitchers and, you know, get them to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, step back, elbow, you know, knee up, balance, you know, stride out, power position, land, use your hips, kind of the whole thing, and just teach them how to throw a ball, whether you're pitching or playing shortstop or being an outfielder. Everybody's getting to a power position. So just trying to have fun with that. I got the daughters are loving it. Keeps running kids to sports. Working, selling software, which is great. It's allows me to be at home and I can work from anywhere. We're actually headed up to Vancouver this summer to get out of the Arizona heat. So that'll be a good time. But yeah, we're happy, healthy. My wife and I are doing great. She's doing a real estate gig. So we're happy. We're blessed and a lot of good things. And, really glad to be on here with you guys.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Glad to hear that. So you're teaching the girls how to play baseball. That's awesome.
I'm one of them. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. You know, I have three daughters and, you know, if they were on a co-ed team, they'd be playing all the bad positions. So Carly started this up and just have all the girls start their own league and go against the boys. But then you get them better. They're playing shortstop. They're pitching. They're catching. They're playing first base. And this is how they develop, right? You're not going to develop playing right field the whole time.
That's true. You got to get out there. What a great idea.
That's awesome. That's really, really cool. That's really, really cool. Peaches Baseball out in Arizona. So if you're in Arizona, hit up Scott Richmond. All right, Richmond, we'll talk to you soon. We'll get you back on again.
Richie, thank you so much. Thank you.
Actually, hold on, Richmond. There's a guy, this guy, Mikey G. He leaves comments, or Mikey V, and he always posts those pictures, like the Photoshop pictures. He just sent me one right now. Do I even want to open this up, Mikey? make sure you follow the Instagram. I'll post this one. This is he's creative. This
one
guy.
Thing I wanted to say,
he's creative.
Yeah. One thing. Oh, look at that dirty mustache! I sit right here with the Mexican crowd. With that bad boy.
But and Tully is not to be left behind. Tully was added to, and oh, this Mikey V guy. I've never met him. I don't know him, and I don't think I want to know him, but he gets creative. He gets absolutely That's creative. Awesome. He wanted to make sure Tully was involved too. And love our fans. Love our fans.
I love it.
And as always, if you want to make sure you go rate, review, subscribe, all that other good stuff. And episode number 2 is where you can go and listen to the entire Scott Richmond story. Scott, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy Canada. Go Oilers. Ricky, we'll talk to you. Oh, by the way, no show next week. No show next week. We are busy golfing. We have an outing involved. And we're trying to get Ricky on the PGA Canada tour. So we got to golf next week. So no show next week. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Richmond's serious about golfing too, man. He's a good golfer.
Yeah. I was hoping we'd get a little base golf talking here. I've been seeing your swings online, you know, you guys. Ricky, I need you a little bit more balanced. After you swing, your swing looks good, but you're falling over. Let's get some core strength there. Let's balance it out.
Let them know what I shot yesterday, Beto. Let them know.
Okay. So since you want to talk golf, because once again, we don't care about baseball here. Ricky yesterday on fire, Richmond. Legit on fire. Probably the best I've seen him play. He took everybody's money. As in he showed up and was like, we played with the guys that were pretty good. And, I was surprised at how strong he played. I mean, we know he can drive, but he drove consistently all 18. Like, I was like, whoa, crushing it yesterday. So he's coming after.
What did I? What did I shoot, Beto?
I don't know that number because I've never seen that number on a golf card before.
80. I shot an 80.
Yeah,
I was plus eight, and I had a triple on like 16, which is terrible.
Yeah. So he should have been 77.
He with a triple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, I had like I think I had like four birdies.
And he had
it was insane, dude. It was insane. I've never had a round like that. It was insane. And who knows? You know how golf is. I mean, shit. Next round, I might come.
He also had a 25-foot putt that rolled in nicely. He had a 15-foot putt that rolled in nicely. He was rolling the rock really nicely. And I gave him credit yesterday. I don't want to do it today, but no, he was on fire. Like legit on fire.
And that's that's the thing too. When your buddies are not, when they're drinking and they're not doing well, they're like, "You need a beer, Rick?" You're like, "No, I do not need a beer. I'm locked in."
No, I had a beer. I had a beer. Yeah,
you had a tall michelada.
A good friend of ours who's a really good golfer. I think he's Brian. He's like a 4 or 5 handy, which he's pretty damn good. Yeah. But and I told him messing around the night before. I was like, "Hey, man, I'm going to whoop your ass straight up." He's like, "You're dreaming, dude." And I'm like, "No, I really am. I'm going to whoop your ass." And I said it messing around, dude, because obviously we never come close to him. And I think I was up like 7-8 strokes on him going into like 18.
Yeah.
And he was like, "What the hell?"
On the skins game, I think a whole 10, Richmond, they all said, "Ricky already won. Why were we even playing?" Like he was cleaning up.
Yeah. Dude, get back out
again.
There. Get back out there.
I stink. golf is hard, but yesterday I'll take that. I'll take a round like that. It leaves you feeling good.
Yeah,
I had a great round. I only had one triple, so I was good.
Great, man. Hey, no. Awesome.
Richie, what do you shoot? What do you shoot, Richie?
I shoot low 80s.
There you go.
So I'm 85. I've never broke 80 though. So like, you know, I'm not. There's no great next to my name, but. I haven't shot in the 90s in a long time. I'm like 86 to 80. I think 82 is my lowest.
But you also play with people who are good. Ricky's playing with me, who I'm messing around, harassing them. So
it is nice when you got somebody like hitting the ball well and pushing you to do well. Like it is nice. So it's even more of a challenge when you're messing around and he's having to play well. So it's more
I know my role. My role is to be the fourth guy to show up. That way no single gets in the group. So I know what I do. And I record the videos for you. I know and try to get free stuff. By the way, we got some free golf balls coming our way, by the way, too. And I like that hat, Richmond. That's a nice hat. We're trying to get them involved too.
Oh. There we go.
Do it.
Here we go.
Those hats are bomb diggity, yeah.
Yeah, those hats are $80 too. So
fuck that.
Yeah, well, you only buy one. You only buy one.
Oh, buy? We don't buy anything. No.
Beto's my agent.
Yeah, your agent. All right, here we go.
Yeah, if it's free, it's me. Give me three. We'll take care of you, Richard. We'll talk to you guys soon. Another edition of the Let's Go Ricky Roll podcast.
See you guys.